Krishna, Sankrishna, Balaram performed activities beyond mental comprehension of Yukta's personalities and Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. With Krishna arranged the battle of Kurukshetra to kill many demons for the relief of the entire world. There's no government, so we will go one text ahead. Kalo janish yamananam dukha shoka tamuram anugrahaya bhaktanam sukunyam vyaktano yashah. Translation: to show causeless mercy to the devotees who would take birth in the future in this age of Kali, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna acts in such a way that simply by remembering him, one will be freed from all the limitation and unhappiness of material existence. In other words, that's in brackets now, he acted so that all future devotees, by accepting the instructions of Krishna consciousness stated in Bhagavad Gita, could be relieved from the pangs of material existence. The Lord's activities of saving the devotees, killing the demons, Parikaya Saduna, Vinashaya Chadushitam, take place. Side by side, Krishna actually fears for the deliverance of the sadhus or bhaktas. But by killing the demons, he shows the mercy also, for anyone killed by Krishna is liberated. Whether the Lord kills or gives protection, he is kind to both the demon and the devotees. In text 62, Yasmin Satkarma Piyushe Yashashtirta Vali Sakrit Shotranjalir Upasprishya Dhunute Karma Vashana. Simply by receiving the glories of the Lord through purified transcendental ears, the devotees of the Lord are immediately freed from strong material desires and engagement in fruitive activities. Purport. When the devotees orally receive the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as named in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, they immediately achieve a transcendental vision in which they are no longer interested in materialistic activities. Thus they achieve freedom from the material world. For self-gratification, practically everyone is engaged in materialistic activities which prolong the process of janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, birth, death, old age and disease. But the devotee, simply by hearing the message of Bhagavad Gita and further relishing the narrations of Srimad Bhagavatam, becomes so pure that he no longer takes interest in materialistic activities. At the moment, devotees in the Western countries are being attracted by Krishna consciousness and becoming uninterested in materialistic activities. And therefore, people are trying to oppose this movement. But they cannot possibly check this movement or stop the activities of the devotees in Europe and America by their artificial impositions. Here the verse Shrotranjalir Upasprishya indicates that simply by hearing the transcendental activities of the Lord, the devotees become so pure that they are immediately immune to the contamination of materialistic fruitive activities. And Yavilashita Shunyam. Materialistic activities are unnecessary for the soul, and therefore the devotees are free from such activities. The devotees are situated in liberation. And therefore they cannot be called back to the material homes and materialistic activities. Namah Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanande Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Tatsvatyare Satarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Simply by receiving the glories of the Lord through the purified and transcendental ears, the devotees of the Lord are immediately freed from strong material desires and engagement in fruitive activities. Do you hear every day the transcendental activities of the Lord? At least we hear the Hare Krishna mantra. No? Yes. Sometimes. Breathless amazement. Astonishment is answering the speaker. Yes, we hear every day the holy name of the Lord. It is said, by hearing the name of the Lord, we will attain prema. Have you attained prema? Not always. It is said, by taking prasadam of the Lord, we will become free from material desires. Do you take prasadam, Ishvara Chandra? Yes. Are you free from material desires? Not completely. So we are in a dilemma. Either the process of Krishna consciousness is wrong or something is wrong with us. This is a dilemma. In other words, here it is said, do this and this is the result, and it's we are doing and the result is not coming. It means the instruction is wrong. It means here we have a full division computer and it says press this button, that button, and the other, and then there will be a red line coming. And when the red line is not coming, we give the computer back to the first and it says, your computer doesn't work, give me my money back. This is a usual activity. The other possibility would be we press a button but somehow we don't really actually press it. Something we do wrong. Therefore the red line does not come in the screen. There are only these two possibilities. Either we do something wrong or the process is wrong. So the question which we want to raise today in the light of these verses is we hear these predictions. We say, we hear simply by receiving the glories of the Lord, one is free from strong material desires. Now we hear all the time the glories of the Lord in the form of the Mahamantra. 2 hours a day we dedicate to this practice. There must be something which we are doing wrong. All the process is wrong and we should leave today the temple and take a work and engage in material activities. This is a very essential question now. Our spiritual life is at stake. After listening to the analysis, we should take consequences in our lives. Either change something in us or leave. This is just some introduction to keep the listeners awake and find their attention to the subject matter. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur deals with this unnerving question and gives an interesting insight. He gives us an example, which shows how the process is ripe, or how the substance is ripe, but due to one's own contamination, one cannot taste it, one cannot realize it. He gives the example of a fever-thick page patient. He's a sick patient. If we have a fever, it is not possible for us to taste a nice preparation. We have no appetite whatsoever. We might be given a plate full with nourishing foodstuffs like sabjis, cheese, and chapatis, and it might be even time for eating, but we have no appetite. We cannot really get into the food. Now, and even if the fever is gone by the after effects, foods like sweet rice and other preparations which require very strong digestion have no appeal for us. So we would like to raise the question in the light of this example: what could be, in dealing with our question this morning, what could be the cause for not tasting Krishna consciousness? What could be that fever, so to speak, in the language of the example, which takes all the appetite away from us, so that we cannot fully absorb Krishna consciousness, so that we cannot relish the holy names, so that we cannot have the whole, the full experience after taking prasadam, of saying, oh, I'm so satisfied now after taking this prasadam, I do not think any longer of any type of self-gratification. What could be that fever? Do you feel this is a relevant question to your lives? Yeah? It's an interesting question. This is the answer to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives. And what can go on chanting for many, many millions of, for many lifetimes, as he said, if that chanting is not free from offenses, the chanting won't deliver the fruit of this holy name. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada stressed many times in his writings that chanting should be done free from the 10 offenses. And in fact, these 10 offenses are not only listed one time in his books, but many times, four numbers. I mean, all these offenses are there. We all have heard the offenses against the holy name. We have enumerated them this morning. I think you will all remember them at this stage. But we could just to get a taste of the subject. It is described that there are several types of offenses. And if you avoid the offenses which are called the nama-aparadha, the offenses against the holy name, you will practically avoid all the other offenses also. For instance, a very heavy type of offense is Vaishnava aparat and Guru aparat. These two offenses are listed, however, within the 10 offenses against the holy name. Number one offense is to offend the devotees who are engaged in spreading the names of around the world. And number three is Guru aparat, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. Then there is seva aparat, for instance. Seva aparat means offenses which are committed while worshipping the Lord. Seva aparat, however, will practically not appear if a devotee has the right attitude, which is explained in the second offense. One should not consider others higher than Krishna, others' names also not higher than Krishna. So, in this way, there are the 10 offenses against the holy name include all the other types of offenses. And once one has become free from the 10 offenses, or trying to become free from the 10 offenses, his whole life will be free from this black cloud of offenses. See, in the Mahaprabhu's preaching, offenses have been sometimes compared to a cloud, and the cloud is in between us and the sun. It's not possible for us to derive the benefit of the sun rays. That doesn't mean that the sun has lost its potency to shine and to make us brown, but there is something in between. In the same way, offenses come in between us and the holy name. That means that the holy name has lost its potency. It only means that we cannot derive somehow the soothing effects of the holy names, which are described in the first stanza of the Shikshastra come. Now, amongst all the there is one explanation which we have heard many times, but which I want to repeat out here. This will be the last point for this morning class. One can avoid offenses against the holy name by rectifying one very common offense, which is inattention while chanting. To avoid inattention while chanting is next to impossible when we have no taste in the holy name. However, if only a little taste awakens in the sincere chanter, then he can chant his full attention. Satsvarupa Maharaj, in one of his seminars, Obstacles, or Overcoming Obstacles in Devotional Service, has given a very interesting way how to improve one's chanting and come to the platform where one chants with taste. And as you hear this, you will see how actually it is possible, easily possible, to improve it. He gives four mechanic steps, and the rest the rest of the results come just by the mercy of the Lord. The first mechanic step is you should not feel tired. In other words, sleep enough. I think this instruction is easy to fulfill because we are prone to sleep. So then the second comes. That's also easy to fulfill. One should chant the mantra in a very articulate way. Srila Prabhupada mentions that the upper lip and the lower lip and also the tongue should be engaged in producing the vibration. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In other words, the vibration must be there. Sometimes we see devotees chanting like that, and we might think, oh, he's a little intense today. Something went wrong with him yesterday. But that is not actually a right attitude. It is, Prabhupada mentions this, and if you just produce a sound vibration in the proper way, then there is only then there is a chance that you will hear it properly. Then another mechanical thing is, it doesn't harm to sometimes look at the clock, whether or not you chant too brittle, too fast. It sometimes happens that we let the beat run through, like the Muslims who play with their beat. I think it's more for nervousness, isn't it? That the Muslims play. So that is a bad thing which we can avoid by looking at the watch. If we have completed one full round after 2.5 minutes, it might be that we are doing this too speedy. So then comes the next step. The next step is we should avoid engagement with our conscious mind wandering, that we just wander around in the mind and think different things. For in this morning, I think many of our multivision devotees, they might have thought, oh, what are we going to do today? Oh, this, we are to realize difficulty. And so on. So that's conscious mind wandering. You should not do it. Then comes the subconscious mind wandering. It's that you chant and all of a sudden you find yourself back in America or in some other cinema of the mind. You think of your wife or you think of your married man. How you think of a wife when you are an unmarried man. And this way, you didn't mean it, you didn't want it, but all of a sudden, the mind has subconsciously wandered there. So, an advice is there. Krishna gives the advice that wherever the mind wanders due to his restless nature, you should bring it back under the control of the self. Yes. And then when you are doing these four steps, sleeping up, it doesn't work if you just do one step of it. You have to do all of them. Sleeping up, then articulate the mantra, look that the time is right, avoid the subconscious wandering of the mind, avoid the conscious wandering of the mind. Then you will find how the holy name is so mercifully inclined that he will bestow upon you, upon us, a taste which is makes it easy to chant with attention. And in this way, slowly, some bona fide taste appears, which becomes greater as we advance. There are two types of tastes in devotional service. One is dependent on the excellence of the elements. In other words, when one's appetite is still very weak, being weakened by one's material life, one is dependent on how nice the kirtan is performed. We only come when Bhakti Vaibhava Swami sings. Only then we will taste. Or we come only to a lecture when Asvarada Prabhu speaks. In other words, when there is an excellent performer of some devotional service, we will come. It's almost like saying if someone comes to if we say Prataram, Prataram, and then someone will say Maravendra Puri, that what do they serve today? In other words, he comes only with a certain preparation, let us say apples with cinnamon over it comes. It means he has not a real strong appetite. He is dependent on certain preparation. This is called the first type of ruchi, the first type of taste, which comes after we are awakened from the, how do we say, from the fever of offense. Later, there will be the second type of ruchi, the second type of attachment, that we just hear the holy name. When the holy name is sounded, resounded, we become highly interested and amazed. When we hear the lecture, we want to draw out of it. Where is something for my spiritual life? How can I apply it? Anyways, these are some points. I hope they will be helpful for the life of Krishna consciousness. We will end here. Do you have any questions regarding this point?
But
going to be chanted in the proper way. You can say, now, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Now, I personally, I will give a personal answer to what you have said. I have seen in my own chanting, sometimes I can chant with many devotees in the room, no problem. It's when one is not tired, then it's easy. So very difficult. And the other thing is, if you are very fixed, then it is possible. In the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the example of the arrow maker has been given in the teachings of the Avadhuta Brahmana. The arrow maker, whilst he was making this arrow, was so fixed on his work that he didn't see the king and his retinue passing by. He was so fixed. Or you might have it from in your own life, when you are writing a letter and someone enters the room and looks over your shoulder, you don't recognize it because you are so much with the thing which you are that you don't perceive any viksheva. Viksheva means distraction. So you don't see it. So it depends. Sometimes when one is chanting in the temple room, one can manage to be so much with the japa, and one doesn't perceive what others are doing around themselves. But that other times make due to being a little tired and therefore not being able to fix the mind so easily, one becomes disturbed. So when one becomes disturbed like that, one can leave the temple room, obviously, should leave it even. It's advisable to not come, this is not for you, but for others not to come into the prajapa mood. Sometimes we have in our temples, and there are areas of the temple where devotees are talking a lot during the japa. That's obviously not the place where one should go, but one can go to a solid place which is more secluded and then chant until one's mind is fixed a little bit. Then it's good to go back into the association of the devotees. One will find how often the remedy for unconcentrated or inattentive chanting has been given as chanting in the association of devotees who chant this full concentration. That is, it's good, and we see often in the temple room the devotees who chant there are often trying to be concentrated, and therefore it's a very good place to chant one's round. Whereas outside of the temple room, often it is found that devotees are not able to concentrate so easily around. But it's if someone devotee is coming to stuff, better to go and chant so that his mind can be fixed. Then maybe he would like to go back to the temple. Now for very exalted Vaishnavas, they often are seen to like to chant alone. Bhaktivinoda Thakur chanted in a very small room, only big like this. You can, if you visit Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house, you can see this room. It's very, very small. He chanted very intense in this house. Haridas Thakur chanted like this. Solitude, sometimes a cave. There are still caves you can still visit in Vrindavan, such caves which were used by the Vaishnavas. There's a cave of Raghava Pandita. And one can even enter in that cave. One can go inside and have the feeling how it is. Quite amazing. It's a little scary first when you enter. Last year, this year we went, just for touristic purposes, to see the cave of Raghava Pandita going inside. It's very nice, actually. But a little scary also. You need the light to go in. So very fun for you to do this. For the you or Maharaj, they chant alone, sometimes they're out. But if we are not yet so long in Krishna consciousness, it is good if we chant together in the temple of this white night. Yeah, this was the last question.
I have a question about Lord Chaitanya. Why did he not take sannyas from a Vaishnava guru and why not from Ishvara Puri, his spiritual master?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking off sannyas. The social reason. Preaching Leela, that is the social reason. The social reason is he was preaching, and at that time he was not fully respected. He once gave an explanation to his students, which was of a very deep and high nature, and the students considered him crazy. So in India, sannyas is respected very much. Now at that time, Vaishnavas, as far as I'm informed, anyone has another information, Vaishnavas would not take to the outer symbols Keshava Bharati, because all the sannyasis at that time were from these four sampradayas in Shankara, in the Shankaracharya tradition.
Yes. Of course, I'm thinking of Madhavendra.
Yes, I'm also thinking of. Oh, you think of Madhavendra Puri? I thought of other Vaishnavas who took sannyas.
So Madhavendra Puri, he was also a bishop. But I don't even know if he had all the extra symbols.
For instance, if you consider Madhvacharya, he also took sannyas from his personal school. You were thinking of Madhvacharya Puri, I was thinking of Madhvacharya even further back, so to say. And there he also took from it. I have always understood it like that he wanted the respect of the people, and these the people were respecting very much these Shankarasampradaya, these four orders of sannyas, which are there in the Shankara Sampradaya. Vaishnava sannyas was not so well known. Yeah. Oh, that's a very good point also. That's a very good point. He wanted to
the teaching
move. Yeah. He wanted to preach to the Mayavadis and the others. And he did. He convinced Prabhupada that and by taking initiation in their sampradaya, he was, so to say, in with them. And that's what they said, actually. They said, oh, you are a sannyasi, why don't you study Vedanta Sutra? Why do you think and think like the sentimentalist? Real understanding of that. That's a very good point. Yeah. Because it said no one could escape Mahaprabhu but the Mayavadi student. Let us end here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Gauranga ki jai.